Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. As of 12:01 a.m. this morning, it's official. Recreational marijuana is legal in Massachusetts. Because today, the first part of the state's new marijuana law takes effect. But there are still plenty of things you cannot do. So joining us now to talk about what the law allows and prohibits is Norwood Police Chief William Brooks. Today also happens to be Chief Brooks' final day as president of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association. Chief Brooks, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so let's run through some of the basics for folks. As of today in Massachusetts, regarding possession of marijuana, what's okay and how much?
Well, as everybody's heard by now, I guess, that possessing an ounce or less outside your home is lawful. Before today, it was decriminalized. You'd get a citation, and quite frankly, you didn't have to pay the citation. We had no recourse if you didn't, so it was almost, as a matter of fact, legal, but technically still a civil offense. So it became legal to possess an ounce or less. If you possess over an ounce but less than 2 ounces, it's a civil offense, and if you possess more than 2 ounces, it remains a crime. And then if you're in your primary residence, you can possess up to 10 ounces, but 9 of those ounces have to be locked up, and 1 doesn't.
Ah, I see.
And you can also grow in your home.
Up to 6 plants per person in the home, but no more than 12 per household, and they're not supposed to be visible from a public space. That's for growing in your home. Now, what about smoking laws? Will it be legal to smoke marijuana in public spaces?
No, question 4 is specific that the public smoking of marijuana is not permitted under the statute. So, you know, you can have it, but you cannot smoke it. I think another provision of the law, too, that will surprise people, there are two that I think will surprise people. And again, this is something that was written by the folks who wrote question 4. Number one, you cannot have an unsealed bag of marijuana in the passenger compartment of your vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got that little bag of weed in your cup holder or in your console and an officer comes upon it or finds it or discovers it in some way, that's actually the stiffest fine under question 4, which is $500.
I see.
And I'm not sure people are ready for that. The other thing that I think might surprise people is that question 4 is specific on the rights of property owners. So if you're a landlord or if you manage a rental property, you can prohibit your tenants from smoking marijuana on your property. You can also prohibit them from growing plants. So for people who would look forward to having the ability to smoke at home, before question 4, maybe they could have, but question 4 is pretty clear that property owners can prohibit the smoking marijuana, you know, in their apartments or on their property.
Right. Well, I've a couple questions about how now that recreational marijuana is phasing in terms of legality in Massachusetts, how that's changing what law enforcement does. I mean, how have police been preparing? Are there canine marijuana forces out there, or are there other changes that local law enforcement agencies have been making?
No, I mean, the only change is that we've told our officers what the changes are.
Mm-hmm.
The Executive Office of Public Safety and Security issued some guidance on it within the last couple of days. Secretary Bennett wrote, I think, what was an 8-page letter kind of outlining, because the whole marijuana picture has become more complicated now. You've got legal marijuana, you've got some leftover decriminalized marijuana, you've got medical marijuana, and then you've still got criminal. So it's become, for anybody who thought, well, this will simplify the marijuana picture, it's the opposite. It's made it complicated. So we've given our officers some guidance as to, you know, what the law says. It's not that we're actually going to do anything differently. We just have to be aware of the new parameters.
Yeah. Sorry, Chief. I just wanted to ask you quickly about, you know, because earlier you had mentioned about marijuana in cars. Is it going to be a challenge for officers to determine what to do about whether when they suspect that someone may be driving under the influence of marijuana?
You know, it will be, but it's a challenge now. I mean, it's not like, I think what you're going to see now is you're going to see more cases of OUI drugs, people driving under the influence of marijuana. You've already started to see an uptick in that. And just what's been reported in the press, you know that the man who plowed into Trooper Clardy's cruiser was alleged to have THC in his system. Mm-hmm. The wrong way driver in Vermont who killed five. The two fatality crash in East Boston. So you're starting to see an uptick in it already. OUI drugs has always been a difficult charge to prove, but it's been going on for some time, and officers will continue to deal with it the way they have been. The difference, of course, between marijuana and alcohol is, number one, the breathalyzer, and number two, the per se limit.
Right.
So when you arrest someone for driving under the influence of alcohol, which the officer does when he has probable cause to believe that that offense has occurred, number one, you have the breathalyzer that you can give the person. And number two, the limits mean something under the law. So if it's 0.05 or below, you're released and presumed not to be under the influence. 0.08 and above, you're presumed to be under the influence. And then the middle area is a gray area. Mm. And with marijuana, we don't have that. We don't have the equipment or the technology, and we don't really have limits that we can look at. That said, people drove under the influence of alcohol for years before we had a breathalyzer. And cops did. You know what you do? You make the stop, and when you see indicators of alcohol impairment, they do roadside tests. And based on the performance in those roadside tests, they would arrest or not arrest. And if they made an arrest, then they would testify as to their observation.
Yeah.
So we have that same kind of setup with marijuana or driving under the influence of opiates or driving under the influence of benzodiazepines or anything else that people do.
Yeah. So, Chief Brooks, final question for you in the last couple seconds that we have. What's your advice to people listening moving forward? The number one thing you'd like them to think about now that marijuana is recreational marijuana is legal in Massachusetts?
Well, just because it's legal doesn't mean it's a good idea. I have genuine concerns about kind of the next generation. I've got not only kids, but now I've got grandkids. And, it's tough enough to be a parent these days without now having not only marijuana legal, but eventually sold in shops and advertised and that sort of thing. I don't think that this is a good idea at all. It's a burden on families and on parents who are bringing up kids. And I hope the adults really just, if they're going to smoke marijuana, that they don't get behind the wheel.
Yeah.
This whole notion that people drive better when they're high on weed, or people who are high on weed drive slow, they never drive fast, that's all absurd, of course. None of it's true. I just hope people use good judgment.
Well, William Brooks is the chief of the Norwood Police Department. Today also happens to be his final day as president of the Massachusetts Chiefs of Police Association. Chief Brooks, thanks so much.
Oh, thank you.